Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Yeah. Baby, don't make me spell it out for you. All of the feelings that I got for you can't be explained, but I can try for you. Yeah, baby, don't make me spell it out for you. You keep on asking me the same questions. Why? And second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression that you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotion, no sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
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 Uh-huh. So good, so good, so fucking real. Uh-huh. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
You know love is so, please don't stop it.
You got me right here in your jean pocket right now. Laying your body on the shag carpet. Ooh. You know what love is, so please don't stop it. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotion, no sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better.
Oh.
That's just the way you make me feel.
Acknowledges that we meet on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations, and we would like to acknowledge all elders of these people and the emerging past and present, especially the LGBTI elders.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
And welcome to Triple Bypass. It's Tuesday night. It's 9 o'clock. It is bisexual time.
It's by time.
It's by time.
Welcome to Triple Bypass. I'm Anthony.
And I'm James.
And we're here. We've got a really great show on tonight. It's really exciting that we have two amazing performers in the studio with us, and we're going to talk to them in a second. We've got Erin Patterson and Samantha Andrew here in the studio with us. Welcome to Triple Bypass.
Hi, thank you so much for having us. I'm so excited to be here.
Just before we move on, I would like to acknowledge that we just heard from Urban Dreaming. Yes. Doing a little special rerun episode there.
Well, it is NAIDOC week, so there's a lot going around.
And the song you just heard, of course, was the amazing Make Me Feel by Janelle Monáe. Did you hear? Everyone's been speculating about it for months, but Tessa Thompson is has officially come out in an interview as bisexual and is officially in a relationship with Janelle Monáe. It's not just a rumour anymore, or wishful thinking in many people's cases.
Well, that's fantastic.
But yes, we have two amazing guests. So speaking of amazing women.
Right. Yay. Welcome.
Segway.
What a segue.
Right, and so if people don't know, you have both just come out of performing a show that ran for a week, was it?
So it's just a little weekend kind of debut of the show, Baby Bye Bye Bye. I feel like I don't have to explain how the bye is spelt in this. Yeah, so we just debuted our brand new cabaret all about female bisexuality at Melbourne Cabaret Festival, so just for a little weekend of performances there.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the two of you, for starters. So you're both VCA grads, that's right?
Yeah, we are.
Absolutely. Yep.
Victorian College of the Arts, for those who aren't Melbourne-based. Sorry, we do have an international audience, I have to remember that. So you studied together, is that right?
So we actually studied separate courses, but at the same time. So we were very much in each other's spheres. We actually met at orientation day at Victorian College of the Arts. So the cult is very strong in creating those connections.
And one of you was studying like an acting thread while the other one was studying a music thread?
Mm, yeah, so I studied jazz and improvisation, so a music course. So I studied singing. And then Erin, you?
Yeah, so I was part of the theatre practice course, which is acting, but also a heavy influence towards making your own content.
Was there a sort of an attitude at first where it's like, oh, you know, we like each other, but I can't imagine we'll get a chance to work together since since we're sort of in different fields.
Normally maybe, yeah, but I am a very theatre-minded person, so I think anyone I meet, I'm thinking about how I could work you into a show.
All right. Yeah. Interesting.
There's no escaping.
You sound like our regular co-host, Ruby, who's having a night off this week. Whenever she meets somebody who says that they're bisexual, she's like, hey, I have a radio show. Would you like to be a guest?
Perfect. Yes, yeah. I think we'd get along
We recruit a lot here. And you met on day one orientation.
Yeah.
And so how did you meet? How did you become friends?
It was actually our friend Josh who introduced us.
I met Josh in the CAF. That's the lingo, the VCA lingo for the cafeteria. Right. We have one and one only. And we met there on O Day, and I remember I just didn't really know anyone, obviously, because it was O-Day. And then through Josh, I met Erin and some of the other people studying the theatre course, and I was just very drawn to the kind of people they were, and we started hanging out heaps. And yeah, Erin was one of my closest friends at VCA, and we weren't even really studying the same course, which was kind of special. And I think throughout the years, just got closer and closer as friends. And then eventually, here we are on a Tuesday evening.
Yeah.
Having just done a show. But yeah, I don't know. Do you remember the same experience? Or
yeah.
I think it was pretty through much, Josh. Yeah.
Because that's remarkable, because at what point did you start to realise we're going to actually be doing some work together? Like as in professional sort of performing?
Well, it wasn't until we left VCA and you're kind of thrown out into this big bad world of theatre and music, and it's very competitive, and I think you know pretty quickly after you graduate who you're going to try and make work with and who maybe your paths won't kind of cross as much. And Sam was one of those people that I think I was waiting for the right concept to come up to kind of pounce on her and use her for something and recruit her. And this concept and this project just fit the bill perfectly, and I was so excited. That was a big reason why it became a cabaret. Belle and I, so Annabelle, our third performer and cast member who lives in Sydney, so she couldn't be here today, but
who was brilliant in the show, like you all were.
Really fantastic. She's amazing. She has the best energy ever. So Belle and I had spoken about the show. It was a conversation we kept having, being that we're both bisexual women. Most times when we were kind of having a laugh or having a chat, we would come back to these shared experiences, which ended up being a lot of the content for the show. And wanting to get Sam in on a project and wanting this project to be more fleshed out, is what brought that musical element. And then we started thinking about, well, this is a funny story and it would make an even funnier song. Mm. So then we really had to bring Sam in for that.
That's great. So can I, going back a little further, what was it that inspired both of you to, you know, get into the performing arts? Is there like that, because a lot of people, they've got that one story about why they were so passionate and why they went to study it. And other people are just like, oh, it was just always there.
Mine's actually kind of funny. I had one moment where I really recognised that I wanted to be either a performer or in the music industry. I went and saw Nikki Webster in The Wizard of Oz, which is on at the moment. Oh, could you believe? And I remember sitting in the audience and I was just like, yeah, this is something that I want to do. But through studying at VCA, I started to realise I love performing, and performing is a big part of my life, but I'm really my most energised and my most me when I'm writing and creating. And I think VCA was such a great place to do that, because there's a real push for creating new content, not just performing stuff that exists, which is also fantastic and teaches you a lot. But that was kind of my moment. You know, I had a very intense choral background growing up, being in a pretty crazy choir, which was fantastic, singing every week and being around people that love singing and performing as much as me. I never really sat down at the end of year 12 and went, what am I going to do? I just went, I'm just going to try for every music school. And I was lucky that it just kind of happened. I never really stopped and questioned. I'm just kind of here, and it just happened naturally, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
I think I a bit similar. It was always there. I think my parents were the least surprised when I told them that I was going to be auditioning for acting schools. I don't actually think it was a conversation. I think I just applied and did it, and it was a given. I just love storytelling. I like watching people laugh or have a reaction to something I'm doing or saying, which as a kid maybe manifested itself in some pretty funny ways.
Were you the class clown?
I actually wasn't. No,
you have to tell them what you were given the award for.
Oh, yeah, so this is a joke that's in the show, and it's completely and utterly correct. I was once given a class award for always having an answer to everything, so I was more the class know-it-all.
Love that.
Hey, yeah. I would have gone to you for answers in tests.
I don't know how academically gifted I was, but I always had an answer.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to Triple Bypass. We're here with Erin Patterson and Samantha Andrew from the Cabaret Show, Baby Bye Bye Bye. And if you want to get involved in the conversation, please do send us a message, ask them a question. You can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au.
That's right. And I just wanted to call out as well, we have had a membership. Cam from St Kilda has signed up for Joy membership. So thank you very much, Cam.
Thank you, Cam.
Awesome. We're just going to go for a little break, and then we're going to listen to a surprise song. Enjoy. You're on Joy.
Start a fight. I know this game.
And that was NSYNC, Bye Bye Bye.
Love NSYNC.
Couldn't help myself. So if you're just joining us, we are talking to two of the three cast members and writers of the cabaret show Baby Bye Bye Bye, spelled slightly differently, because this is Joy 94.9 and this is Triple Bypass, which is your Tuesday night bisexual, pansexual and queer and everyone who's not quite at either end of the spectrum show.
Multi-gender attracted.
Multi, yes.
I like saying it like that.
That's, yeah, thank you for that, Anthony. Yes. And we have two of the creators of this show, Samantha and Erin, here in the studio with us right now.
Yeah, and we want to give a shout out to Annabelle, who's also in the play, who was amazing in it. So hi, Annabelle. Hope you're listening.
Yeah, up in Sydney. And we've had a message
We have had a message. Abby has sent us an SMS. Abby said, I saw Baby Bye Bye on its premiering weekend and loved it. Can the Fringe Festival please come faster so I can see it again? An eager person. Abby, thank you.
Yes. So, yeah, Fringe Festival. So you're going to be at the Fringe?
Yes. So, so it's technically still under embargo, but we can confirm that we will be performing the show again soon. And if you do want any more information about that, we are super active on Instagram and Facebook, so you can go like us there. It's under our company name. So we actually have a theatre company and it's called Flesh Coloured Panties Productions.
That's with the Australian spelling with the U.
Yes.
Coloured with the U, just for nice. Any international listeners.
Yes. So there will be future performances and that will be where you get all your information.
Future performances at an undisclosed festival that I didn't just drop the name
of. Yes.
So in about a week, I hear that there may be some sort of announcement exactly where Baby Bye 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 will be performed next.
Exactly, yes.
So,
tune in for that.
Let's have a little chat about the show itself. Like, what was the initial idea? What did it grow from? What were the seeds?
Sure thing. It really grew from that. Well, first it grew out of response from the fact that we just haven't seen this content. As three people who are heavily active in those performing communities, we see a lot of work. We, you know, are big consumers of that product, and we weren't being as represented as we felt we could be. So it was the confidence to make the show came from there, knowing that this was a gap that needed to be filled, but the actual content itself just came from these stories that we told each other. We were having boozy dumpling dinners and laughing over some of these like insane things people feel they can say to your face, and you know,
may I ask for an example?
I think one of my favorite examples is we have an Aussie punk rock number and it's full of some of the more dude things that have been said to us. I know that's a huge generalization, but
it does happen.
Some, it's okay. You know,
this studio is a safe space. Yeah. No one's listening.
Yes, but those more kind of maybe the male private schoolboy response of, does this mean we can have a threesome? And I'm not going to be jealous if you make out with girls, that's hot, but I'll be jealous if you make out with other men, or things of that kind of nature.
Right, because of bisexuality and how bisexual women in particular get fetishized, and there's a sort of added layer of objectification because of being bisexual.
Yeah.
I think that came through very strongly in the show as well. It's quite a political show in that sense, isn't it?
Yeah, and we definitely didn't shy away from that. And one thing that we were trying to navigate as well is that a big message of the content is, don't hypersexualize us, but we are sexual beings. So we didn't want to desexualize ourselves through the content either.
Yeah, we wanted to be unapologetic in our experiences and not have to water them down or feel like we can't express them in the way that they are, because, you know, that's what I think made the show really honest. And what I know a lot of people said to me afterwards, they were like, thank you for being honest about your sexual experiences and being so open and not shying away. Because I know one person that reached out to me was like, that touched me, and it was just really nice to hear that part of your your life as well, I think.
That's a core part of the cabaret experience, isn't it? I mean, cabaret at its heart is meant to be quite personal, yeah?
Mm, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Which is interesting because traditionally a lot of cabaret is, you know, it's covers rather than original songs. But is your show entirely original songs?
Yeah, so it's an all-original score. So I worked doing all the music for the show, but it's been completely collaborative in writing all the lyrics for the show. And we've had a very broad kind of taste of lots of different genres within the show as well. We had a Destiny's Child inspired piece, which was very fun to write. And then we had, you know, yeah, more of your kind of Australian punk rock. I even wrote a piece that was kind of Andrew Sisters inspired as well, which was very, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but also very dirty at the exact same time. If you saw the show, that was kind of very weird lyrics going with very like da-da-da-da-da kind of voices.
Maybe don't bring the kids to this one?
I wouldn't encourage that.
I'd be a little uncomfortable if I looked out into the audience and saw a face significantly younger than 16. We did have that conversation, though, very early on about how much is going to be original music and will we cover anything? Will there be parodies? The title of the song alludes to maybe there would be a parody of quite a famous song. But we just didn't struggle for those original concepts. We were blessed with an amazing musical mind in the room and Sam, and all these conversations, they fit into original pieces. We couldn't find songs to cover that conveyed the messages that we were trying to convey.
Mm. Well, it came together beautifully. I'm just interested in the actual script, so the content of the... I'm wondering for plays and for performers how they perform fictional characters, and this one felt really personal. I mean, you offered up some of the information in there as your personal experiences, and you used your real names actually on stage too. So, what was it like to present something so personal so publicly?
I think for me, one thing that was probably the most interesting part of the experience is I do identify as a lesbian. I have been with both men and women, but that is the label that comforts me the most and makes me feel the most, I guess, at home. And I think my experience in doing this show is, for a while, to be honest with you, I felt like, am I being a bit of a traitor? Am I lying in the show? But then, you know, with working with Erin and Belle, we were like, no, we need to create this to be what reflects us. So we do address that kind of part in my life where I was out as bi for a while and then shifted into coming out as a lesbian for many different reasons, and from actually being ostracized by my own queer community, which is another thing that we address in the show, not feeling like I was valid enough to call myself a lesbian based on the way I dressed, based on many different things. But I think that was the biggest one for me it was weird being in the writing process and feeling very comfortable with the writing of the music and writing comedy, but then getting to the nitty gritty of what do I want this show to say about me? And I think that was probably the biggest thing, yeah.
And I think from day one, we knew that we wanted to use our own stories and use our own personalities. I mean, they're very kind of overblown versions of our personalities. Everyone's a lot more nuanced than they can be in, you know, 60 minutes of cabaret content. But we knew it wanted to be about us, which is also why we didn't shy away from... we didn't water down the fact that Sam doesn't identify as bisexual, that Sam identifies as a lesbian, because we wanted it to come from that place of honesty. And we think that talking about those experiences... is just as valid, and it completely added to the show in the end. And I think that's what made people so willing to listen, was they didn't feel like there was a level of dishonesty or performance, even though it was a highly performative piece.
Right.
It's fascinating when you talk to somebody who, when you know something's really working, sometimes that's when it's the easiest. Or not so much easy, it's almost like it's something that already exists and you're just sort of digging it up from the ground rather than building it yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
And to be able to think about how it's going to land with your audience. I'm just wondering, you had family members, I'm sure, and friends who came to see this. Did they hear things about you for the first time during this play?
Yes.
Yes, they did.
Yes, and I think as well, not only some things for the first time, I think some things side by side and condensed in a way that they hadn't been fully aware of its impact. my family is very accepting. I talk about that in the show. My mum has been in same-sex relationships. And even I hesitated to come out. You know, that process is hardly ever easy, no matter your background. Mm. But even talking to my mother afterwards, there were some parts of my experience that she just hadn't realized I'd gone through. She hadn't heard those things side by side and that cumulative effect of how those, you know, death by a thousand paper cuts kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're going to go and listen to some messages from our sponsors, and then we're going to listen to a lovely song that was selected by one of our guests. So just stick around. You are on Triple Bypass on Joy.
Take a trip into my garden. I've got so much to show ya. The fountains and the waters are begging just to know ya. And it's true, baby, I've been saving this for you, baby. I guess it's something like a funfair. Put gas into the motor, and boy, I'll meet you right there. We'll ride the roller coaster. Cause it's true, baby, I've been saving this for you, baby. I need you to tell me right before it goes down. Promise me you'll hold my hand if I get scared now. Might tell you to take a second, baby, slow down. You should know I, you should know I. Yeah, I bloom just for you. For it this time, we're dancing with the trees, and I've waited my whole life. It's true, baby. I've been saving this for you, baby. I need you to tell me right before it goes down. Promise me you'll hold my hand if I get scared now. I tell you to take a second, baby, slow down. You should know I, you should know I. Yeah, I.
You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. That was Troy Sivan with Bloom. And you're here on a Tuesday night. I'm Anthony.
I'm James.
And?
I'm Sam.
And I'm Erin.
Yay!
That was fun.
So our special guests are from the cabaret show Baby Bye Bye Bye, and we have been talking theatre and being bisexual.
I'm sorry, I really do have trouble. Every time I hear that name, I have trouble not going Baby Bye 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 with the finger. You can't.
Right.
Great radio, doing
don't
the
worry,
finger
we
action.
Do it too,
right,
yeah.
Totally. So if you want to give us an SMS and join in the conversation, you can do so at 0427JOY949. That's 0427, what is it? 569949. And you can also send an email at onair@joy.org.au. And we have a message.
Yeah, Kiki, who's one of our regular listeners and somebody who sends us quite a few messages, saw the show on Sunday afternoon and it was brilliant. I still have Annabelle's jingle in my head. I look forward to seeing what you do next. Thank you very much.
Yeah, what was the... Are we allowed to say what the jingle was?
Yeah, give it to us.
When two become one, cause hybrids are fun, it's combos with Annabelle Larkham.
Bing!
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely. So the play, get along to the play and stay in touch with your Facebook page.
Yeah, Flesh Coloured Panties on Instagram and on Facebook.
We'll be sticking that on our Facebook so Perfect. That people can link to it easily.
Good.
And link on our podcast. And we're talking musical theatre. We're talking about queer theatre in particular. What sort of... there's not a lot of representation of bi stuff in the arts in the queer spaces. What was it like? What sort of roadblocks did you come up against? Were there any? Was it difficult to push this script through for it to be accepted? Or
yeah, well, we were actually really lucky in terms of getting the script up. We haven't really run into any roadblocks of anyone kind of questioning the need for this content or questioning the show. People have been really receptive and. I think it's one of those things where people haven't realized what's been missing until someone put it right in front of them on a silver platter going, this is a show that hasn't existed yet. And we've made it and we're willing to put it up here. And yeah, people have been very supportive and kind of having that like aha moment of, I haven't seen this before. This is new. We can stage this. But in the creative process, we ran into this big conversation, when people started being so receptive to the concept of the show, a lot of people started coming out of the woodwork and sharing their own experiences with us. And they were experiences of bisexuality that differed wildly from our own. We could find so much beautiful common ground, but this is a show written by three women. We are three white women. We are three white women of a similar age. And that means we come with a very specific perspective. And even though it's a perspective that hasn't been overexplored yet, we felt a lot of pressure to try and include other people's stories. And we really had to sit down one day and tell ourselves and give ourselves permission to make the show that we could make and to realize that it's still representation that is needed, but we couldn't make a show about being a bisexual man. We couldn't make a show about being a bisexual woman of colour or someone from the trans community who's also bi. That's not the show we could make.
And have you found that it's been a really accessible experience for other audience members, like, you know, cis, straight, male audience members? Have they been connecting with it?
I would hope so, yeah. Like, I've spoken to a lot of people after the show and a lot of people that also were straight that... a lot of things in the show resonated with them, even though they're not attracted to people of multiple genders. And I know that in that show as well, we did want to not necessarily cater to straight audiences, but if they, you know, we knew that they were going to be coming along to our show and they would be making up maybe quite a big part of the audience. We wanted material and songs in there that they could relate to as well and they could laugh at and say, that's me as well, and not be sitting there for the entire show going, oh, I just don't get any of this. This is not my experience.
Because there are just those universal experiences, aren't there? You know, the feelings of, you know, not fitting in totally. Or feeling embarrassed. And
everyone's, you know, been rejected by someone. Everyone's had a questioning moment when they've been attracted to someone and they're not sure, like, do I want to be you or do I want to sleep with you? That's something we address in our show and I think anyone could kind of relate to.
Yeah, I think we got really lucky in a way where by kind of fiercely making a show that was specific to our experiences, we actually spoke to a lot more people than we realized. And I think if we had have been trying to sugarcoat our experiences or censor ourselves, there would have been less honesty and less connection overall from multiple different varieties of people.
Totally. And I think it did speak to everybody in the community, regardless of how you identify, because it's the show has a lot of addressing a lot of stereotypes, especially harmful stereotypes. So you know, and I'm not knocking our allies. You know, we love you. You know, we couldn't have got marriage equality without you. However, you know, it did address some of the stuff we're used to hearing from people who are not bi. So
and I think as well, sometimes people don't realize that they're embodying that voice that has made your experience something less than positive. Sometimes people say these things just as a bit of an offhand or a remark and not realizing that, you know, context has maybe put them in the wrong there.
Right, and so that's why I thought this show was an activist show. It was breaking down, you know, harmful stereotypes and changing the message for people who are not aware of the actual lived experience of bisexual people. So it was more than just entertainment. I thought I was walked away feeling very encouraged that, you know, this sort of work is being done in the art spaces and not just in other political spaces. So,
and I find it kind of funny as well, sort of ironic that for a very long time, musical theatre and cabaret, it was telling these very heterosexual stories, but so many of the people making it were queer as hell, and now we've got to this point where it seems to have flipped over, and there are a lot of really beautiful queer stories being told.
Yeah, you see that more and more, especially through cabaret. And I think it's that intimacy of the experience that I know you mentioned before. You see cabaret more and more becoming this beautiful space for queer stories. And I think as well, it's one of those things of there's so much more acceptance for it. People who don't identify with that experience, they still want to hear these stories because I think they're realizing more and more, oh my God, we're not so different from one another. Shocker. No, but it's becoming very much a queer space, and it's so exciting.
Yeah. Especially since so many of the veterans of the scene have now, like, you know, people who were, you know, singing these very straight songs and telling these very straight stories, and it's like we're now getting told stories about them. We're getting shows like, you know, The Boy from Oz, or I saw an amazing cabaret show a couple of years ago here in Melbourne that was about Cole Porter and about how he was writing all these straight love songs when he was gay as hell, and that was an amazing show.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, you kind of look back and see all these people who are maybe hiding parts of their experience, which now more than ever are really relevant. You know, I wish we had have gotten there earlier, but...
Right. Yeah, well, there's a lot of bi people starting to come out too, isn't there? So we have, speaking of someone who's coming out, someone's come out and sent us a message.
Yes. Caitlin has sent us a message saying, these two women and Annabelle, who is not present at the moment, there is a third creator of the show who's currently in Sydney. Sorry, I'll get back to the message now. These three women have so much good to give, and I feel so hopeful as a fellow young queer woman to exist at the same time as such brilliant creatives as the Flesh-Coloured Panties gang, who are breaking glass ceilings, forging a path, and celebrating the queer experience. Mm. Bloody bravo. Thank you, Caitlin.
Aww, Caitlin, that's amazing.
Caitlin, I think I know who that Caitlin is. I love you. Thank you.
I don't know who Caitlin is, but I love you too.
She's a huge fan of our work, I think.
We're going to go to a song in a second. It's going to be, is it pronounced women or WMN?
WMN. I'm not actually sure how it's pronounced. All I know is that I love their music.
So this is a track that's called Tip of My Tongue. They're a fairly new emerging band out of Adelaide. And do you know anything about them?
I don't know much about them, but if I'm correct, Caitlin, who potentially sent in that message, recommended them to me and is friends with a lot of the band members. And
Caitlin's,
I just think,
killing it.
Caitlin is killing it on Joy. She should be in the studio right now.
She's just making sure you're playing the song.
But yeah, I think that they're a very beautiful group of women.
So this is WMN, Tip of My Tongue. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy.
It's a pounding pain that booms in my chest, that it can't be now. Ooh. I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel the same, but time seems to destroy. So the tip of my tongue, tip of my tongue, tip of my tongue. Play with innocence that wasn't ours to hold, perfectly positioned between hands so bold. Laid you down against the rules, pull me closer, you pull me closer.
You are listening to Triple Bypass on a Tuesday night on Joy 94.9. I'm James.
I'm Anthony.
I'm Sam.
I'm Erin.
And we're actually quadruple bypass, perhaps, tonight.
Love that.
That's a very serious procedure.
Well, it's a very serious conversation in here. Well, maybe not so serious.
Not that serious, really. We're talking to, Sam, Samantha and Erin are two members of the crew that have created and performed a new bi-themed musical cabaret show, all original songs, completely original show. Just got performed twice. That was its debut at the Melbourne Cabaret Festival just about a week and a half ago. But there may be more performances coming up, but I would not be silly enough to accidentally mention that when it's under embargo. Don't listen to the podcast. Anyway, so thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight.
Thank you so much for having us, again.
And we just listened to WMN, Tip of My Tongue. They're a band out of Adelaide that everyone's a little obsessed with in the queer lady world.
Indeed. Yeah. And in the queer Melbourne world, once I stalked their Instagram and went, everyone is so attractive. And they're very good musicians. So you have a fan in Melbourne as well.
Well, a couple of fans now. A
couple of fans.
Yeah, I quite like what I heard. So, Baby Bye Bye Bye, which, for those who maybe have just joined us, is spelled B-I-B-I-B-I. But there is some sort of reference to some popular song from the late 80s, early 90s. I don't know. I didn't listen to music back then. So this is a show created by and performed by three women.
Yeah.
So what was that experience like? Because I know that even though there's a lot of female performance on stage, there's often behind the scenes it's quite male-dominated. So how did that go for you?
Yeah, for sure. I know being the composer of the show, composition for musical theatre is a very male-dominated field, and it feels very exciting to kind of, you know, dipping my toe in the water in that kind of experience. But I think it's really exciting for us, and even just, I don't know, looking at our program, being able to see so many women and so many queer women on the team all coming together and working together. I know through experience, I really enjoy working with women. And I think when we were all in the room together the first time, we kind of showed our stage manager, who is a woman, our set designer and our lighting designer, our show, we just had this beautiful kind of moment all together where we were like, we're doing this and we're such a strong team. And it was really empowering, and I respect all of the people on the team so much. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think as well, it's really empowering to quite an overused word, but very applicable here. Really empowering being in an all female kind of dictated space, which is us creating this show, that there were quite a few times we had to remind ourselves not to potentially alienate male viewers.
But can I ask about that? Because it sounds really important, because there is something, and I mean, you know this more than I do, but there is something about a female-only space and the way that you can express yourselves. Because even just one male there does change the dynamic in the space, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And we've been, I think, really lucky that we, first of all, had so many talented women like at our fingertips to bring into this process. But as well, like, I do fully want to credit every single guy that's helped us out in some way as well. Like, all of our male friends who have maybe, you know, sat in with us for a day to give us some creative input. We have a friend, Alex, who watched a very early version of the show and gave us some great advice. They've been fantastic. And I think as well, they were also very aware of being someone who is, you know, male in that space. So I think maybe they were at times a bit delicate with us in terms of feedback.
Because, I mean, it's rare enough that we hear queer stories. I mean, obviously we're hearing them more these days in you know, on stage. But queer stories and women's stories, and now this is like queer women's stories, that's even today, like in cabaret festivals and that sort of thing, it's still not a common thing.
And it's a comedy as well. Like, queer women in comedy is, it's a little far and few between, which, I mean, it shouldn't be, and the comics are out there, but it's pretty male-dominated.
Mm. So did you have to sort of, was it hard to, like, get a slot in a festival? Was that a challenge?
So far it hasn't been for us. We've been really lucky, but in terms of, like, trying to book in less kind of festival-oriented spaces, there have been a few little conversations about... sorry, because I'm also the producer, so I'm on that practical side of things, talking to small music venues, trying to book us in. We've had a few people get really excited about the potential of queer female presence, and then we've had other people get a little bit, oh, will you have enough content to fill the slot? Or I've, you know, proposed ideas of creating variety shows of other queer female artists, and I've had kind of people be like, well, we want 90 minutes. Do you know enough people? And it's like, oh, do so I think as well, you just go up against this assumption that because we don't see these women, especially queer women, making work, especially comedic work, people think they don't exist. But yeah, a lot of the time it is because they're struggling to get those slots and get up.
Is it sometimes we talk about you know, activist fatigue, and we sort of choose our battles, but do you find it hard to not challenge that belief system behind the comment, or do you just kind of answer it because, you know, you have...
I think as well, like, being in the room with these two wonderful women, it's definitely re-empowered me. I think it comes and goes in waves, and I think at the moment I'm riding a very strong wave of political energy. So
there must just be a good feeling just knowing, you know, we did it and we've done two performances of the show, of this original show, and it just must feel pretty good.
Yeah, it feels pretty surreal, and it truly does, to me at least, feel like the start of something very special and the start of a professional and working and friendship relationship with Aaron, which is and Annabelle as well, that I see in my future for a long time, and that's really exciting as well. Yeah.
And I think as well, like, I definitely want to credit everyone for how willing people have been to see this content, even people who aren't in the community or don't identify with that community. People are really hungry for this content at this stage. So I think getting this opportunity to make it has been fantastic, and the reception has been amazing.
And so if you're listening to this, you have missed the debut of Baby Bye Bye Bye, but there are more performances coming.
Yes.
We're not able to announce them just yet, but now it's Flesh Coloured Panties.
It is Flesh Coloured Panties. So if you like and subscribe our Instagram and Facebook page, we will be announcing some very exciting show information soon. In August.
And we'll put that link on our podcast, that joy.org.au/triplebypass. So check it out.
That's right. So thank you very much, Samantha and Aaron. We've run out of time. I mean, it's amazing how quickly it passes. We're going to go to Local Roots next, hosted by Jason Heath. He plays lots of really cool local Aussie music, and he's got a new track from Yothu Yindi and a new track from Living In tonight, which is pretty cool. So thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us.
And good luck with all the future shows and your careers. And will you come back on the show at some point?
I'd love to.
Absolutely. Yes, please.
That would be great. And we're going to finish off tonight. We're going to listen to some Slater Kinney. So get ready to do a little bit of headbanging. You've been listening to Triple Bypass, the show for the bis, the queers, and the pansexuals, and everyone in between on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.